KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I'm your host for today's show, and we're happy you joined us, and I hope your morning is going great, and we hope that today's show can brighten your day just a little bit more. If you listen to the show very often, you know just about every week I open by saying how we feature the people who make possible the over 1 million hours of service that Fresno State provides to the community each and every year. Well, today's show is going to dive a little deeper into that million hours, and we're going to be talking about all of the different projects and components that make up that million hour plus count. With me in the studio are three people who not only help make possible that million hours of service, but they're also experts on many of the various projects and programs that make up that count every year. First, we have Melissa Jessen-Heiser, the Assistant Director for the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning. Welcome back to the show, Melissa.
Thanks, Chris.
With Melissa is Tricia Stute, the Community Partnership Coordinator from Fresno State's Richter Center. Trish, thanks for being here today.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
And also, finally, we have one of our fantastic students who works on and off campus to create this culture of service at Fresno State and to provide those service hours, Ms. Haley Chapman. Haley, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
So, Melissa, maybe you'd get us started by talking in general just a little bit about the Jan and Bud Richter Center. What's that program all about?
Thanks. The Richter Center is an office on campus that I like to say we help students connect to the community through service. So our mission is to help improve the community through service and learning. So we bridge learning opportunities with service in the community with one of many incredible community benefit organizations that are available. So students can put into action the things that they're learning in the classroom to the benefit of our greater community.
So it's the central office on campus that does this promotion and support and those kinds of things. Yeah?
That's correct. And it's a whole host of different activities that I know we're going to get into a little bit today, The ways in which we make that happen.
And how's the center involved in gathering all this information that goes into this million hour count?
That's one of our main duties, is to track and organize the data that tells us the impact of our work in the community. So we do that through a number of different surveys. We work with faculty members, with other staff members who organize different service opportunities for students. We connect with them to get that information.
And this has been going on for a long time. You've got a bunch of great historical data that you can look back on. How long has this data collection effort been going on in the Richter Center?
It's been going on for several years now. The first survey was conducted in 2003, though we didn't start getting really serious about collecting the figures until about 2007, 2008. And that's when we started surveying more of the programs across the campus to get a broader understanding of the level of service that's been going on. That year in 07, 08, we gathered over 600,000 hours of service.
So 600,000 hours by today's standards don't seem like much, but 600,000 hours is a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that in the fall of 2008, John Welty, who was the president of the university, issued a little challenge to the campus and to the Richter Center about the numbers of service. Can you talk a little about that challenge?
Yeah, that's right. So he wanted us to reach over a million hours of service annually by our centennial year in 2011. And spoiler alert, we did it. Uh-huh. We exceeded that goal, and we did it a year early. So that's been pretty exciting.
I think you had shared, and I've seen those numbers before, that year, like you say, exceeded. It was almost 1.2 million hours. Mm-hmm. It was like 1.16 million hours of service. So what's happened since that first year? You know, has the university kept it up? Have you been continuing to do this count? Have you exceeded that million hour goal? Where are you at now?
We have kept it up, and we're really proud to say that each year we've exceeded the 1 million hour mark. There have been some ups and downs, but on the greater whole, it's a steady climb upward. This year, we reached our highest number yet with over 1.4 million hours of service.
And when you talk about this year, we're actually looking at numbers from last academic year, the 12-month period that is the 2017-18 academic year, right?
That's correct.
So Each year, we're reporting on the statistics from the previous year.
Yeah, the previous academic year.
Okay.
And now we're starting to accumulate information for the current year, the 2018-19 year, which we'll report next year. And in the last 10 years, we've accumulated over 12 million hours of service for the community.
Wow. So definitely averaging over a million hours of service. And 1.4, I mean, you're talking about getting very close to 1.5 million hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's only a matter of time before we get a new goal to hit a 2 million hour mark or something,
which will be a whole new thing. We're not going to issue that challenge. Never. No. It's great to see that that continues to rise. And I can understand some of the ebb and flow, but the fact that it's never dipped down below a million hours and the trend sounds like it's been going upward the whole time.
That's right.
I know when we've talked about this before, you know, that million hours, the term a million gets thrown out there a lot, as does billion and trillion. And it's hard to imagine, but a million hours and now 1.4 million hours, that's a lot. A million is a lot, and people don't realize that. So the impact must be tremendous, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. How does the number of hours of service that Fresno State produces each year compare with other universities?
Well, many colleges don't even collect this data, so we're ahead of the curve in that way. And then for the ones who do collect the data, we're either at the top there or even far exceeding other groups. Compared to other institutions within the California State University system, we're the top university in terms of the number of hours we're producing.
I saw a pie chart recently that broke down the different CSUs, the 20 plus campuses in the CSU. It was all colored by, you know, the number of hours and then the section of the pie for Fresno State of the total CSU hours. It was a generous one third or more of the total pie chart. So it was pretty impressive about what this university is doing in terms of service.
Yeah, Fresno State is the leader and innovator in service related work for our students in the CSU and I'd say in the nation.
Yeah. And it's not to say that these other campuses aren't doing some incredible things.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. We've got some great sister campuses that share information too, and we're always learning from each other and using that to propel ourselves forward.
Yeah. Why do you think Fresno State's so strong in this area?
I think it's a combination of things. I think over the years, we've had really great leadership that have institutionalized service, who have recognized the value that it brings to our students, to our faculty, to our community, and have made pathways for us to make this happen by helping us incorporate service into the classroom through service learning courses, by providing us with support to organize and implement other different service opportunities through internships or even one-time events. And then it's our students, too. I mean, we've got some really great students. I'm so glad Haley's here today to talk to you all, who are excited about service, who recognize the value that they can bring to the community and the opportunities they have to enact that here while at Fresno State.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we've got great faculty and staff, too, who are also excited about this stuff and taking their expertise and lending it to our community to make it a better place for everyone. So I think it's a whole group of people, including donors like Jan and Bud Richter, who so generously gave to our center to make sure that we're able to keep things going. There's also some really great donors who support the Friends for Civic Engagement Fund, which provides funding for students to do service projects both here and internationally.
Yeah, Rich and Dwayne Barrett and others, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our community partners who are doing amazing work in the community. They're boots on the ground, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do the work we do.
Yeah. And Trish, speaking about those community partners, that's your wheelhouse. You've been with the Richter Center for quite a while now, correct?
Yes, I've been with the Richter Center for 16 years, so I've been around a little bit.
And what's your role? What does the community partnership coordinator's job entail?
I really feel like I have one of the best jobs in the office because what I get to do is I get to work with the community partners in our community, find out what they're doing, what their needs are, and how we can potentially plug students into those needs and those roles. So it's really a great job that I get to go out and I get to see what's going on and hear what's going on in the community and come back excited about that and excited that we can include our students in those great things that they're doing.
I've heard you refer to yourself and the work you do like match.com.
I'm a little bit of a matchmaker. Yes. It is. It's finding those matches. It's trying to figure out if there's a course that's being taught, if there's just a student that happens to come in that I think would fit really good with a certain community partner, or it's faculty and it's internships. It's all kinds of different ways. Students can do 15 hours. They can do 150 hours. We have a lot of different options for them.
Yeah. But how many agencies are we talking about?
Well, there's over 700 nonprofit agencies in our community. I feel like we work with at least a good 200 of those. It's really hard because there are students that just know what nonprofit they want to work for. Maybe they're in the outlining community. They may be in Kerman or Fireball or somewhere like that. But for sure, we know at least 200 agencies that our students are working with that we have contact with and relationships with.
And it isn't just the traditional nonprofits, the American Cancer Societies and the Poverello Houses, right? It's the smaller mom and pop ones, it's schools, it's government entities. It really covers the gamut.
It really does. And, you know, a lot of times a student will come in and they'll say, I need you something for criminology. And there isn't really a criminology nonprofit agency, so to speak. But we try to direct those students to do an after school program or do a Saturday sports program, because that's what they're trying to do, is trying to get kids involved and keep them going and keep them in school and excited about the community. And that in turn helps the crime rates stay down. Mm-hmm. So it's all about trying to find those fits for students. And then with nonprofits, it can be a nonprofit with two people. It can be a large nonprofit. I mean, there's just so many different options out there. And there's new nonprofits. I've been here 16 years. And just last week, I visited a nonprofit that's been around for 30 that I didn't even know about. Mm. So it's kind of exciting when we get to make those connections as well.
And you've got these really small ones, right, that are mm-hmm. just sort of mom and pop agencies. And then you've got huge partners like you know, Fresno Unified, Clovis Unified, right. St. Agnes, those kinds of things.
Right. Yeah. Make-A-Wish. There's the ones that everybody's really familiar with. And then there's ones like Every Neighborhood Partnership that we're really familiar with that isn't a national well-known agency, but they're doing really good things in our community and continue to grow all the time.
So a lot of agencies, what are the numbers of students that are involved in these kinds of things?
Well, last year we had approximately 18,000 students that were involved in some form of university organized or affiliated service program.
18,000.
And I'll be honest with you, I feel like the number is probably higher than that. That's just the students that we know about. I know that we have students that come into our office that are doing this or want to do service because they want to put something on their resume. They want to get some kind of experience. So that's about 70% of our student body, but I guarantee there's more students than that that are involved in the community in some different way because they're just doing it because they want to be involved.
Yeah, and if I understand it right, when you talk about that 18,000, that's just students who are involved in some kind of university organized or affiliated program.
Correct.
That's not the student just out doing service on their own with their family, with their friends that aren't doing it for a class or a scholarship program or anything like that.
No, even during dog days orientation, students will come by and we'll say, have you done service work? And they're already involved in service. So they're mm-hmm. already doing something. But then they may have to do something for a class. So maybe they get an opportunity to do something at a different agency, even though they've already been involved with one throughout their high school career and going into college too.
So about 18,000 students in university-affiliated organized service programs out of roughly 24, 25,000 this year is the campus's headcount. You've also got 2,000-3,000 faculty and staff. Are they also involved in this work?
Yes, I hear from faculty and staff all the time that they're doing different things in the community. Unfortunately, we don't count those hours towards the million hours, but it doesn't discount what they're doing. So I feel like as a university, we hear about faculty, we hear about staff that are on boards or they're going out and volunteering at the Poverello House or doing a Saturday sports program or doing a walk or being involved in something in the community. So I feel like as a campus, there's a lot of hours and a lot of people involved that we don't necessarily know about that are still out there. So I think those numbers would be quite higher if we yeah. knew how to capture that.
Yeah. And those faculty and staff are also, as Melissa mentioned, they're instrumental in helping engage students because they're teaching the service learning classes. They're leading some of these programs and projects. So,
and, you know, a lot of times faculty will have a service learning class and they'll go with students and they'll go out with them and do their service or they'll be involved and they'll get to know the nonprofit agency and they get excited about it. And then they're excited because the students come back with great experiences. And so they get more involved and learn more, too. So I think it really is two way. I mean, everybody's getting something out of it. Or I guess I should say three way. The community, the faculty, the student, and the university as well.
Yeah. So what are the people that you work with telling you about our students? Or do they feel the students are making a difference?
You know, we have two community service opportunity fairs each year at the beginning of each semester. And it's a really good time when students are looking for the service that they either need to do for a class or they just want to do because they, again, want to get something on their resume or just want to give back. Every year, and I've been doing it for 16 years, yeah. I have nonprofits that say we could not function if we didn't have these students. We look forward to this event every year because we could not do this without students. I mentioned Every Neighborhood Partnership earlier in the show. They're one that they use 200 students a year with what they're trying to do. And that's Saturday sports, that's wow. being involved in classrooms. So you can imagine they really rely on our students to make their mission possible.
The Community Partnership Opportunities Fair that you just spoke of, in fact, we just did, as
just
you
did
know,
one, yes.
we just did a show about a month ago. Mm-hmm. It's on our KFSR.org Fresno State Service in Action page. And I really encourage the listeners to go back because we interviewed a number of those agency representatives that were out at the fair at the very end of August, at the start of the semester. And many of them made that point about, you know, what a difference these students make in them reaching their mission. Mm-hmm.
it's really a good day where the community and the students really do come together. They're here on campus. The students are able to walk around, talk to several agencies. Students come away excited, and agencies definitely come away excited because they have students that they've talked to that are excited about working with them.
So let's talk about these specific programs. You know, I'm looking at a copy of last year's impact report, and there's like 40 or so different projects and initiatives listed. So maybe we'll just take a little sampling of that. And, you know, Melissa and Trish and Haley, maybe you can tell us about some of those. So Alternative Break, Melissa, what's that program all about?
Alternative Break provides opportunities for students to do somewhat short-term service, so like 3 or 4 days during a traditional break, so spring break, winter break, summer break.
Okay.
But it's in lieu of traditional break activities like Netflixing or going to Cancun or something like that, which are all fine things to do. But it gives the students an opportunity to work with a small team and make an impact on the community.
And you've been doing these programs for quite a few years, right?
Yes, the Alternative Break program has been going on about 10 years now. They're small groups of students, but they really get to know their agency in the course of 3 to 4 days. And in some cases can like transform the way that agency looks. If it's like rehabbing or refurbishing project, they've done camps. One year they did a STEM camp for children who live near the Fresno State area and get those kids excited about science, technology, engineering, and math.
Perfect.
Which is not something I would have done on my spring break. So I really got to give it to these students.
Yeah. There's a lot of campus clubs and organizations at Fresno State. Are they involved in this service work? They're part of this count.
Yeah. So there's a ton of clubs and organizations. And a lot of times within their bylaws, they have a requirement to do some kind of community service. But there's also clubs and organizations that just want to get involved. And upwards of 67,000 hours are counted from these clubs and organizations. And this is separate than the students that have to do service learning or something like that. These are hours in addition. So you have students that are doing maybe service for a class, but then they're in a club or organization. They're going out and doing even more service with different agencies.
And there's something listed here, community service scholarships. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Community service scholarship is a unique program in that a nonprofit agency has a need, and it's usually a bigger need than just, say, a 15-hour tutoring or something like that. I mean, they treat it as a job. So they put together a job description. Students go on website and look at what the options are, and they apply for this. And they get a scholarship at the end of the time that they're doing their service. So it's usually 150 hours of service. And then at the end, they get an academic scholarship for that. So the agency is getting a student for 150 hours. The student is getting an experience, in a nonprofit, doing different things, maybe marketing, maybe management type, maybe running a program for them. And at the end, they get a financial scholarship. So it's really a win.
So that program and many of these other ones are actually coordinated by other departments. Another one that's actually coordinated by the Richter Center, if I understand right, is the Fresno State Blood Drives, right?
Correct. Yes. So the Fresno State Blood Drives have been going on for many, many years. Campus has been involved, hundreds of donors, and they're coordinated through our office with the Central California Blood Center. And in the last few years, it's been around 1,500 units of blood that we have collected as a campus. And just because I have a little knowledge of the blood center, each of those units helps 3 different people. So that's a lot of blood donation. That's another way, maybe not ours, but that's another way that we impact the community because that is a community service as well.
One of the big numbers on this impact report is from internships that are in nonprofit, not-for-profit kinds of placements where the students are not paid. Tell me about those.
That is a huge number. That's almost 500,000 hours that these students do. And these are a little bit more, again, in-depth internships. So these students are spending more time at the nonprofit agencies.
Yeah, like 135, 140, 150 hours.
Correct, correct, yeah.
Directly related to their major.
Directly related to their major with a nonprofit. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times what comes out of this is those students end up getting hired on at the nonprofits.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times that that's happened with students. So it's a really great experience for both involved.
Melissa, there's a couple great literacy and tutoring programs, Jumpstart and Reading and Beyond. Can you just talk about them briefly?
Jumpstart uses Fresno State students as support in preschool classrooms. And so their goal is really to help young children enter kindergarten prepared to succeed. So they work with the kiddos and they also work with their families. Jumpstart tutors provide over 300 hours of service each year.
Each tutor.
Yeah. So last year in total, their group provided almost 30,000 hours of service, just 78 students, which is a big commitment on the part of the student. And the organizations have a great benefit from it. And then Reading and Beyond is a local community benefit organization that has sort of a satellite office at Fresno State because they use about 40 work study students as tutors in K-6 settings. And so last year, their students provided over 12,000 hours of service.
So lots of work going on to help support and promote pre-K through sixth grade student success.
That's right. And there's also partnerships with high school groups as well. So combined, you know, we're really looking at a pre-K through high school pipeline to college.
Yeah. So a couple more here real quick before I kick it over to Haley. Melissa, what about these one-day service projects?
Through one-day service projects, our students, faculty, and staff will provide service with local community benefit organization. Last year, we had nearly 1,000 hours completed through these three separate one days. Our next one coming up is in October. It's Make a Difference Day, and we'll be working with Sierra Foothill Conservancy, Building Trail, and they've been one of our longtime partners that we've worked with on these events.
And service learning courses.
Service learning courses are really exciting. It's a way for faculty to incorporate service as a means for educating their students. And so it's just a method of learning. Think of it as a lab, but the lab is out in the community. And last year we had around 140 courses available that students engaged in service learning, and they provided over 117,000 hours of service to the community. And that was coupled with the learning they were doing in their classroom. So it was all built around content and curriculum.
So similar to internships, very connected to their major, very connected to their coursework, the academic piece. Haley, I'd love to get you in here. We saved the best for last. How's that? First, maybe just a brief introduction.
I am from Fresno, born and raised here, went to Edison High School. I'm currently a super senior, going to graduate this December with a degree in biology.
And you've been part for several years of this Richter Center Student Leaders Program. Can you talk about that a little bit and your involvement?
RCSL, Richter Center Student Leaders, is a big group of students, about 40 each year, who promote service on campus in different ways. There are four different teams. We have the ambassadors who kind of do tabling events and things like that to kind of generally promote the spirit of service around campus. We have the serve committee, which I served on, that helped plan the one-day service events. And we have the reflection facilitators who go to those one-day service events and kind of help students who serve there make meaning of the day and their experience there. And then finally, our newest program is the service learning coaches. What they do is go into service learning classes that Melissa was mentioning, and similar to the reflection facilitators, but kind of more on a regular basis, help those students find meaning in the regular service that they're doing for that class.
So each of these groups have a kind of a unique role in helping to promote to their peers a different sort of component or service in their own way. You're all volunteers, right? You're not paid for this. You're doing, you know, an hour, two, 3 hours a week or more of service throughout the year. It must be a great experience. You've been involved for several years. What do you get out of being involved in a program like RCSL?
Oh, gosh. There are a lot of tangible benefits, like different organization strategies, communication, different things like that. With Serve specifically, I got event planning experience, which I'd never gotten before and probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So those are all really valuable. But I would say the biggest thing that I get from service and service leadership that I've been involved in Fresno State is just a greater connection to my community. Like I said, I was born and raised here, but it was through service that I really got to know and got to love Fresno and the surrounding area. And part of why I got into leadership is because I want other students to get that same experience.
I love that connection piece. And I love the fact that you're looking to connect other students through service to their community in a more deep way. I know we recently did a show with you on the Leader Trips Project.
Yeah.
That's one of the examples. You mentioned Serve, and we've talked about these one-day service projects. How are you getting this information out to students? You're quite involved in a project this semester around social media, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Fortunately enough, not only do I get to serve with the Richter Center, but they actually hired me to work with them. So for the past few months now, I've been doing a few different things, one of those being social media. So I manage all of our social media pages. Looking forward to getting to do some more in-depth stuff for Day of Giving coming up in the future. So it's nice to be able to tap into my general experience of social media and get to use it to further this cause that I'm so passionate about.
And depending on the listener's chosen social media format, how would they go about finding the Richter Center and all this great information on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or whatever it might be?
If you're on Facebook, you just look up the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning, kind of a long name, but I think it'll be linked to this page.
Yeah, we'll put a link to the Fresno State Service in Action Facebook page.
Perfect. And then on Instagram, we're going to be at Richter Center, And it should be the same thing for Twitter as well. And we post a ton of different things on there. Service opportunities for students and also just general community service opportunities for community members too. Ton of good stuff.
So we're pretty much out of time, but I want to give you the last word here. You're looking back now on closing in on graduating and being done with your time, at least as an undergraduate at Fresno State.
Yeah.
What would you say, what level of impact, how important has your involvement in service been to you as a person?
Oh gosh, the impact is immense. Even just like from day to day, like I feel great about what I do and what I get up and do every day and the way I'm involved in service. And it's even started to change what I see for myself in the future. As far as a career, I want to hopefully one day work with a nonprofit, maybe even start one of my own. We'll have to see. But it's really transformed my goals in life and shown me what to prioritize and how I want my priorities to be. I think those all revolve around service.
Well, that's a great reason for doing this work. Melissa helps lead all of those RCSL programs, and she's tearing up in here practically listening here in Haley. Well, we are out of time, and I do so many of these shows on so many different of these programs and talk about these different projects that make up this Million Hour Count. And I really encourage the listeners to log on to the KFSR.org website, go to that public affairs link where you're going to find Fresno State Service in Action. And our page is going to have podcasts of many of those shows. And I really encourage you to take a listen to some of them. I think you're going to hear even more about these great projects and the way that students like Haley are involved in helping to lead them and really make up this million hours of service. So our thanks to our guests, Melissa Jessen-Heiser, Tricia Stute, and Haley Chapman. We really appreciate you being here today, ladies, and certainly thank you to everyone listening. Your involvement in this program is essential, and one way that you can be involved is to go to our Facebook page that we mentioned, where we're going to put lots of good links and photos and everything else, and you can find that Facebook page at FS Service in Action. That's at FS Service in Action. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we are on the air at 90.7 FM, and we're streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.